This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاكم الله خيرا for being here tonight. As you all heard, the topic will be about what is really happening in Syria. And the question is because people are complaining that they are not clear on what is really going on. And I ask you simply, why would be that? Why would someone trying to know the truth is unable? And the answer is very simple. From the beginning, there was blockade, there was siege on the media, on everyone trying just to convey what is going on. The problem is many people forget. If you are not living what's going on day by day, month by month, you would forget. After some time you would forget and you say it's just like any other conflict. No. From the beginning, for 8 months, anyone who was in contact with the media, anyone who was trying to take any documentation, any evidence, to send it outside, he will be either killed or persecuted, put to torture, and that happened in many cases, in many ways. One simple case, and this happened to my friend. My friend, my colleague, he owns a bookstore. Not only bookstore where they sell books, but also he is a publisher. And I dealt with him several times. I published 2 of my books with him. So he owned in the city of Douma. This is about 11 kilometers from Damascus. He owned a bookstore, 2 stories. And he paid a lot of money to do that. And he finished it 2 years before the revolution started. So one day, and I didn't know, because when this happened, he was in Kuwait. He wasn't in Syria. He himself, the owner. But the place was open and functioning. And I saw on TV that the army entered that bookstore. It's called Dar al-Nawadir. Dar al-Nawadir, that's the name of the publishing bookstore. They entered there and they destroyed everything. And I was wondering, what's the matter? So I called him. I said, what did you do? He said, how did you know? I said, what do you mean? It's on TV. And he laughed. He said, one of the numbers that the army, they watch, that there is one of the numbers that he owns, because all the numbers is under his name. For his employees, he got a discount. So instead of you buying individually a cell phone, he bought the lines for everyone. He said one of those lines, they checked and they said that a message was sent to Al Jazeera television. That was the only reason. I said, so now what? He said, they destroyed it. I personally, I cannot go back. If I go back, they will imprison me. This is an incident that happened to one of my friends. He told it to me directly. So anyone who tried just to convey what is going on was not allowed to. So when you wonder what is going on and why we don't have clear image of what's going on, the answer is very simple. Because you're not allowed to speak the truth. You're not allowed to know exactly what's going on. They have only one version. They want you to believe it. That's all. From the beginning. Now, how this all started? Again, this is a question that many people ask. How did this all start and how it reached this level? This ugly level of civil conflict and all these deaths, that the toll is almost 200,000. And when we say 200,000, those are the ones that are documented, that there is an evidence. Beyond that, there are many people who are killed, who are kidnapped, and you don't know whether they are dead or alive, who are imprisoned. So the number, I would tell you, it would be 500,000 easily, between killed and imprisoned and kidnapped and missing. The number would be like, because It is ugly. Now, I still remember before it started, when we were watching TV, what's going on, and the news came that Tunisia, this is what happened. Then Egypt, this is what happened. I was with one of the colleagues. We were in Birmingham, if I'm not mistaken, either Birmingham or Manchester. And we were watching TV. The news came that, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, at Tahrir Square, people are celebrating the removal of Hosni Mubarak. So we were laughing and they said, when this will happen in Syria? And I told them, impossible. I told them, impossible. Why? Because of what I know. Because of the violent level that I know of the army there and the intelligence forces. So anyways, when this happened in Syria, we were really surprised. But there is no surprise. Why? Because of the fear that people had is already gone. In Syria in particular, this should have happened at least 30 years ago. What many people forgot or don't remember is that in Syria there was an attempt of a revolution. And it was crushed in the early 80s. At that time, there was no social media. People were unable to report easily like we have nowadays. So the army did whatever they want. Okay, so the army did what they want and they killed over 40,000 people. 40,000 people, we're talking about early 80s, in a matter of week. And my wife, she's a witness. Not she herself, but her family, because there are entire, what do you call here, Lorong, what do you call here, a small street, and area, an entire area that is leveled with the ground. And it's gone. There are entire families disappeared. Nobody is left. Men, women, and children, all. So, this is an idea, only an idea of what is happening. And I will come to the details, inshallah. Let me ask you this very simple question. And you hear in the news, whenever something happens in Gaza, or in Syria, or any place in the Muslim world, don't you feel bad? Don't you try to do something? I'm a witness that many people here, Jazamullah khair, including Anida also, they helped and they contributed for the people of Syria. Yes or no? So if I'm in position of authority and I am elected as a president or as prime minister, would I let my people suffer? What do you think? Would I be a true leader if I let that happen? So now, how many refugees do we have? In Lebanon, over 1.5 million. Turkey, roughly the same number. Jordan, and this is the first time this happens. Syria used to be attracting point, receiving end, not the other way around. So what was the attempt of the government, of the people there, to help those people? One single attempt. Nothing. Actually, when it started and there were refugees, by the way, how it ended there, how they became refugees. When people refuse the government and they refuse this regime and they say, we want our freedom, that's all what they are asking for, and they are faced with armed forces that destroyed their homes. That's how they became refugees. So when they became refugees, what was the attempt? What was the help of the government that is given to them? If you go back and you read, and this is the problem, we have very short memory, we forget. When it started, the first batch of refugees, in the official news, they said those are relatives. They only went to visit their relatives in Turkey. They lied. But then when it became obvious, and then after that another group of people, and then another group, and then another, and then it was obvious that what is going on is actually a war between a regime that is corrupt and its own people. And throughout history, never, not even a single time, the regime won. You can fight other people. You can fight other countries. You could be weak, But Allah Azza wa Jal would make you victorious, just as what we witnessed with Gaza. But a regime that fights its own people, it will never win. But that's the problem. People don't learn from history. They're not learning. And actually, this is another thing. Now, when we look at Gaza and what happened there, the Zionists, they are brutal, inhumane. And they used different types of weapons, different types of strategies, and they killed a lot of innocent people, children, women. And we all saw that. If someone asked you, who do you think is more brutal? The Syrian regime or the Israelis? Alaykum salam. This is a very simple question. Who do you think is more brutal? If you look at it, you would see that the Syrian regime is more brutal. For one simple fact. Israel is able to do 10 times more than what they did. They have very strong army. They have weapons of mass destruction. They didn't use that. Not that they care about the humans there, but they didn't do it. While in Syria, nothing except that it was tried against its own people. Chemical weapons. Who on earth would fire chemical weapons against his own people? Exploding barrels. And this is something at the beginning they denied that. But now, who has the air force? Who has that advantage? Only the regime. And they used that many times. So nothing except that it was attempted and tried against the people. So this is what is going on. But I understand it. Some people, they say, we are confused or we are not clear of what is going on. One of the reasons is the recent crisis of ISIS. And people ask, are they correct? This is actually part of the problem, not part of the solution. And ISIS, if you look at it, there, you will have no doubt and no question that it is a very sophisticated operation by the intelligence regimes, including the Syrian one, because they did what they were unable to do. To infiltrate and destroy from within, that's much easier than doing it from outside. And that's exactly what they did. No single scholar, tell me one single scholar who supported what they are doing. Nobody. Yet, they are expanding. Why? And you start asking yourself, why? Why is that? Definitely, there is someone supporting them. And now, we see that. Apparently, they are fought by all forces around the world, including America. But in reality, actually, they supported them because they helped their cause. Now, America can come again. And everybody would allow that. Earlier, there was opposition. We don't want another war. We don't want another invasion. Now, every single scenario, if you read in the news, if you read any analysis about the situation, no real solution except by allowing the Marines to come on land. And that's what they want. And it will be catastrophic, but that's what they want. So, it is sad that people, sometimes they get emotional and they don't read. I tell you, wallahi, to us, maybe because I lived there, I saw what's going on, it's very clear. Very clear, just like day and night. It is very clear. But to some people outside, they might say, maybe those people who fought the regime, maybe they're wrong, maybe they didn't do something that is right. In Syria, you're not allowed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. You're not allowed. You want to open school. Once you call it Islamic, that's it. Forget it. You are not allowed. Recently, women who were wearing niqab, they were transferred. They were prohibited. Earlier, in the early 80s, hijab itself was banned. Inside school. Outside, you're allowed. Now, that was another stage. This was in year 2007, 2008. Women were banned from wearing niqab. Any teacher, any worker who was wearing niqab, she was transferred to another department where there is no interaction with other people. It's only administrative work. That is something that we saw, we witnessed. Why is that? You want to open nightclub? It's very easy. You want to open school, masjid? And I personally, I came back from America and I wanted to help. I said, I'm helping other people. Why wouldn't I help my own people? So I went to one of the people who works in the Islamic affairs, and I told him, that's what I do, and maybe I could give some talks. And he said, yeah, there's no problem, we need that actually, but there is one thing. What is that thing? I have to apply for an interview. They have to meet with me. Who has to meet with me? The intelligence forces. Why? He said, that's the procedure, but I can talk to them. I said, you know what? I don't want this. Why would they have to approve of that? They want to make sure that you are a good citizen. You're not a bad citizen. So unfortunately, even before all what happened, there were many restrictions against people. You want to grow your beard? You're not allowed. You have to have a permit. In the army, you're not allowed to pray. Many things, many things. But now, this happened. It started in Tunisia, it happened in Egypt, in Libya, and then it also happened in Syria. But I tell you, in Syria, it is totally different. Why? Syria is neighboring country to Israel. So now, the calculations are different. Because it is a neighboring country to Israel. Second, they don't have oil. By the way, we do have oil. This is something many people don't know. There is oil in Syria, but not as much as Libya. And that's why people didn't pay a lot of attention. And by the way, now, who is in control of the oil rigs in Syria? Who's in control? ISIS. Yeah. They put their hands on many resources, financial resources, to make them stronger. And that is used against whom? Against the Muslims. Against the Muslims. Now, in all this conflict, in all what was going on, only the Sunni groups that are fighting, only they are labeled as terrorist organizations. The first one was Al-Nusra Front. That was the first one. Why? What did they do? You ask yourself, what did they do? They didn't do anything wrong. Actually, they were the first ones to have a real attack against a target of the government. And immediately, America announced them terrorist organization. Okay. How about ISIS? What about their leader? And many people, they say, oh, he was trained by CIA, by Mossad. It doesn't matter. This was a statement by Edward Snowden, the American spy. But whether this is true or false, this is irrelevant. Why it is irrelevant? Because you look at the facts. You don't only look at speculations or statements from people. You look at the facts. Now, less than a week ago, three Kuwaiti activists, they were enlisted on the terrorist watch. That means they are not allowed to have any transactions. And actually, they were temporarily arrested in Kuwait when they arrived in Kuwait. And I know them by name. One of them is Dr. Shafi Al-Ajmi. He was very active in helping the Syrians and trying to collecting money for them. The other one is Hajjaj Al-Ajmi. So those were blacklisted by the American government. Why? The accusation is communication with ISIS. Okay. How about the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi? Until now, there is nothing against him. So you say this is a terrorist organization, but its leader himself is free to do whatever he wants. Until now, there is nothing against him. The UN, they held a meeting only to list the names of those three people. And they were listed. And consequently, Kuwait announced that it is complying with the decisions of the United Nations. It didn't become now only a decision by the United States, but actually by United Nations. So Kuwait said, yes, we will comply. How about the leader? You are accusing me of communicating with terrorist organization. That organization, its leader, is free to do whatever he wants. It doesn't make sense. And this is the problem with many people. We are not reading the facts, what is going on. And that is what is going on. It was very sophisticated operation to allow the people to do whatever. Now, only now you hear Britain, Europe, entire Europe, France, including. They visited a lot of areas in Iraq. Why? Because there is a minority, the Yazidis. And the claim was what? ISIS was killing them. Now, maybe this is true. And we are against any killing for any innocent person, regardless of their religion. But how about the last 3 years? What did he do for that? Nothing. Exactly nothing. Recently, the news about James Foley that filled the entire world. Beheading. Look at ISIS. You know why is that? Because it commemorates the first anniversary of the massacre that happened in Al-Ghouta, in Damascus, where people were attacked by chemical weapons. But nobody's talking about that. They forgot about that. They are talking about a single person. And until now, we don't know the truth. But many people said he was not actually executed. He wasn't executed. It was all an ugly show just to blind people and to divert their attention. And it worked. Nobody is talking about what happened. There was a massacre. 1,500 people, many children and women, they were killed in one night. And nobody talked about that. A few years ago, less than 2 years ago, Obama said that this is a red light. This is a red line. And you cross it, and that was the chemical weapons. Okay, so it happened. Where is your red line? Nobody is talking about that. You don't expect from the enemies of Islam to support you. That's a fact. So people ask, if that's the case, then the people themselves are having a revolution. Why until now they're not successful? There are many factors. On the ground, there are many factors. Numbers, yes. There are numbers. People have more numbers. But what is the problem? The problem is you have thousands of people, but they are on the lower level. On the higher level, you have the people who are supporting the regime. The regime would never allow someone to reach that level, whether in the military or in the government, unless they make sure that he or she is 100% loyal to them. That is the problem. So imagine you have only a pistol or a knife, and you are fighting an airplane. Now, it could work, and Allah Azza wa Jal, His sunnah is that whoever was sincere and fought, He will support him. It could work, but generally, it's not equal. And that is the problem. Many people are killed. On the ground, now, most the country of Syria is not in the hand of the regime. But what counts is actually the capital, and the capital is with them. And there were some attempts. What was happening on the ground? And actually, I see what is happening in Syria is a reflection of our entire situation as a Muslim ummah. It shows our entire situation. It shows you that the deviant sects, the deviant groups, Shia, they are united. There were cases of people coming all the way from Afghanistan. From Afghanistan, not from Al-Qaeda, from the Shia. They were funneled by Tehran, by the regime in Iran, and they came to Syria, from Pakistan, from Iraq, and from Lebanon, from Hezbollah. All of them came to Syria, but nobody's talking about that. They are only talking about the Sunni groups. Always Sunni groups are targeted, but what about the Shia groups? There are many groups. In Iraq, when they were fighting American soldiers, how many groups of the Shia were blacklisted, were considered terrorist organizations? Zero. Zero. But it is always the Sunni groups. Always. So that's the case. When we say it is a war against Islam, that's the truth. It is a war against Islam. Why for Europe and America, why you ban and threaten anyone who travels to support people? Initially, everyone said what is happening is inhumane. Everybody. America, UK, France, everybody said the regime has to go. People should rule. Okay, so you agree to that. They say, yes, this is brutal. Okay, so if I feel that I can do more and I go there, why would you imprison me for 20 years and you consider me terrorist? Why? But when someone goes to Israel and fights with the army there against Muslims, that's fine. They actually have interviews with some American citizens and they ask them, why you're going there? And they say, this is a good cause. That's a good cause. Innocent Israeli civilians, they shouldn't be besieged. They shouldn't be subjected to the missiles of Hamas, the terrorist. That's what they are saying. They are having interviews with them, and they are not shy to say their names. But when a Muslim youth goes to Syria or Iraq, feeling that those people who are killed unjustly, they are defenseless, and I'm trying to help them, I am becoming a terrorist. This is not double standard. That is the standard. And it has always been like that. It is not double standard. That is their standard. If it's Sunni Muslim group, then that's the standard. If it is not Sunni Muslim group, then that is the standard. That's what they have. So, again, I'm taking you back and forth because, as you see, every now and then you hear about something. Many people said, ISIS is not collaborating with America. Otherwise, they wouldn't attack them. Actually, the attack was very well orchestrated. It was engineered right in time and place. Why? Something that many people don't know. ISIS, they have the leadership and they have the people. People, yes, maybe they are clueless. Someone heard that they are accepting foreigners to fight with them against injustice, against tyrant regimes, and they are sympathetic, they are excited, and they go. That is the people, and they are the ones who are attacked. Leadership of ISIS, nobody is talking about them because they are the ones who are running the show. They are the ones who are deciding on any. I heard personally from many people who used to be with ISIS, but they admit, they say, we were wrong. We never thought that this is the reality of ISIS. One of them, just recently, less than a week ago, their most famous blogger, who used to blog on internet and on Twitter, and he announced that everything was a joke. It was a big lie. One of their highest ranked, not in the army, but in the Islamic justice system, Qadi, he was in Al-Ghouta, and again, the same thing. He defected, and he announced that. Other people, they tried to do that, but they when they are caught, they are killed. That is what's going on. So you have to distinguish. ISIS, as a group, it's not one. They have the leadership. All, they are corrupt. There is no question. Many people within the Syrian Free Army, they said, we tried a lot of times to collaborate with them. The regime is there. Walking distance, we could see them. They are attacking us, and we tell them, you have weapons, help us. And they say no. When the attack starts, actually ISIS, they attack them with the regime. They never collaborated. But the individuals, yes, you would have some of the individuals who don't know. They came from Britain, they came from... And I heard that even some people from here. And people ask, what do you think? Personally and generally, I don't think that this is a good idea. It's not right, for one simple reason. You're going there to help people. You believe that this is jihad. And inshallah it is. But you're coming from a foreigner country. You're coming from a foreign country. You're coming from here. You are a foreigner. You're coming from Malaysia. You go there to help the people. If the people you want to help, they themselves are telling you, we don't need you. They don't need manpower. What they need is resources. That's what they need. Skills, expertise, finances. That's what they need. So you're going there and you're saying, no, I want to help. But they don't want this help. So how that is going to be helpful? This is my message to anyone who thinks that he's doing good. May Allah reward you for your intention. You might have a sincere intention, but the action definitely is wrong. It is wrong. When you come back, you will be also in trouble. You will be subjected to legal scrutiny or any imprisonment. Allah knows best. So you can save yourself from that. Nobody is telling you not to help. Everyone wants to help. Everyone has a good intention. But when you help someone, you should help the way they want, not the way you want. I want to help you, I ask you, what do you need? I don't do whatever I want, I ask you, what do you need? And whatever you tell me, I'll try my best to do it. That's how it works. That's how it should work. So that is my message to the people there. So now, again, people ask, so why so far over 3 years and nothing happened? I believe It is the most difficult revolution, the one in Syria. Because it's not only, you're not only fighting a regime. That regime is collaborating on the highest level with Russia, with Iran, with the other groups. Hezbollah, and as I told you, from Afghanistan, from Pakistan, all of them are coming to Syria. Why? Many of them, many groups, some individuals, when they are caught and they are told, what brought you here? They said, we are defending the sanctuaries and the places of the imams, their imams. Where are they? They are in the north, in Aleppo, where there is no such thing there. Even if they are telling the truth, that would be in the south, not in the north. So you are way off course. You are way, at least 500 kilometers away from your target. And nobody talks about that. When it started, many Muslim countries, they declared their support because no one would let this happen. I mean, if you see an animal in the street, shot dead, you would sympathize with that, that this should not be happening, even against animals. And you have seen that against human beings. It doesn't make sense. Someone just chanting, that's all, chanting, saying, I don't want this regime, down, down this regime, and he's shot dead. And then another one who's attacking Allah Azza wa Jal openly, and he's rewarded. And you still say this is a good regime. That was the case in Syria for over 8 months at the beginning. Their only word was peaceful, peaceful. They had no weapons, no arms whatsoever. And the regime tried to change that. They took some pictures, some clips, they recorded some clips in the masjids. I remember that exactly. And they said, this is what they found in the masjid, in Dar'a, in the old masjid, that people are gathering arms to go against the government. And this was totally untrue. For 8 months, people were killed. For what? They were just saying, we want to be free, that's all. And they were killed. They were shot dead. So everybody was shocked. People were shocked. The news came that this shouldn't happen. This is wrong. And the countries announced that we want to give our support. But where is the support? Only fractions. Only crumbs. That's all. Saudi, Qatar, Emirates, and the other countries as well. The best country so far was actually Turkey. So far the best country was Turkey because they opened everything, even free medication. This is something that is exceptional. Other than that, most countries. But you ask yourself why? What is the reason for that? Saudi, they announced pulling their ambassador. And all the Gulf countries, they followed suit. Usually Saudi is the biggest country, so everyone in the Gulf, they follow them. Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, Emirates, they did that. But then what happened? That's what many people don't know. They got serious threats from the Syrian regime directly. They said, you're not better than us. You think you're better than us? If you don't stop your open support to the revolution, we will show you that you will have your own revolutions in your country that you will be busy with. And that's actually happened to an extent in Bahrain. That happened to an extent. So people, those countries, they had to stop. And that's what happened. This situation could have ended long time ago, but people are not willing. It is just a new day. That's all. 20 people are killed. 50 people are killed. It became only numbers. Every single day. No one is talking that there is torture, that this has to stop. No one is talking about that. No one is talking that there are innocent people are killed. They became just figures. Just numbers. Every single day. That's all. And even people there, they became tired. Now, when someone says, I'm a reporter or I want to, they tell you, please leave. Get the heck out of here. We don't need you. What are you going to do? Because people were able to do and they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. And that is the fact now. We have a lot of cases of people, they just tried to convey the truth. But then, so what? So what? Now, people are either refugees, injured, killed, they are homeless, and in the horizon, you see that there is no solution. But actually, there is. There is a solution. And regardless of the time, because it's taking a little bit longer, that's true. But there is a reason for that. All is a process of purification. All is a process of testing. It's not only for them, just like what happened in Gaza. Gaza, actually, it's not about the Palestinians. It is about the Muslim Ummah. Are we able to support our brothers and sisters? Or an entire Ummah is unable to fight few millions of the Zionists? That is the case. Same thing also in Syria. Are people able to support the innocent people to hold justice, or they are letting them fight on their own? So it is actually our responsibility. Now, as I said, the conflict in Syria had many layers. Openly, Europe, America and other so-called civilized world, they say we are for the people. But what did they do? As a Syrian, you're not allowed to travel to Europe anymore. They announced that there will be some penalties against the Syrian regime. And they had the list of 85 people that they are criminals and they are internationally wanted. But that is not effective at all. It didn't work before. It's not working now. It will never work. But they just want to save face, to say that we did something. As a Syrian, you're not allowed to enter Europe. You're not allowed to enter America. You're not allowed to enter many countries around the world. So where is your support that you're saying? The rich people of Syria, long time ago, they left. They are rich. So who is paying the highest price? It is the innocent people. The poor people. They are the ones who are paying the highest price. Because they have nowhere to go. They cannot stay. But also, there is no third option. So they are left with the worst of options. Either they stay, and every single day, you hear a terrible story. Every single day. Now, the latest trend in Syria, during night like this time, it's almost impossible to see someone walking down the street. Because you will be subject to kidnapping. Not directly by the regime, but by people, whether they are supporting the regime or not supporting the regime. There is no security whatsoever. Recently, the last poll showed that Damascus is the worst city to live in the entire world. Now, after a few years back, it was the best city, one of the safest city. You go down anytime, during day or night. But now, that is on purpose. This is left on purpose. The regime is not doing anything because that's not their priority. You're kidnapped, so if you're lucky, you will be spared by paying money. And usually they ask for large sums. That happened to my brother. My brother was kidnapped for 49 days. You could be stopped at any checkpoint with weapons. And that's now armed forces from the army. And they tell you, we need your car. They don't tell you, we are going to hijack the car. Or we need the car. Why? We have an operation and it will come back to you tomorrow. This happened to my parents. They were driving. They were going to visit and they were told, we need the car. Luckily, alhamdulillah, they knew someone. They had his phone number and alhamdulillah, he answered and they told him, this is the situation. So he told them, let me talk to the officer in charge. And alhamdulillah, he knew him. I mean, it was amazing. After that, they said, I was telling them long time ago, please leave. Leave, because it's not easy to tell, especially old people, to leave. They are used to something and they want. But I told them many times, leave. And they didn't want. They said, that's where we're living and whatever happens, it happens. It's the qadr of Allah. But after that incident, they said, you know what? Maybe it's better to leave. Because at any point, at any given time, someone with a weapon coming to you during the day, at the watch of everyone else, telling you, give me your property, give me your money. What can you do? What can you do? You cannot do anything. And that is going on and on and on, day in, day out. That is the situation. This is with individuals. Now with people, many governments promised, we will help. We will give you weapons. Russia openly supporting the Syrian regime, sending choppers, missiles, even warplanes. Why? They say we had agreements. Europe, on the other hand, what did they do? They announced a ban on any arms to be sent to Syria because it is a place of conflict. So just think about it. One side is getting all the weapons, everything they want. Another side is told, no, no, you are in a conflict zone. You're not allowed to get anything. That was what's going on. Then they announced, okay, we'll give you. And I heard from many people, because they established now the revolution, one of its factors of success is that it didn't have so-called leader. It was a revolution by people. People, they are the ones who led that. Youngsters. When it started actually with youngsters from Daraa, from the southern city of Daraa. That's it. So, when you ask who's the leader, there is actually no leader. But later on, they formed the council for the Syrian revolution to be representatives. And they were told, because I was in contact with many members, and they were told, you have to give some concessions, you compromise, and we support you from America, from Europe. And they refused. They refused, so they were told, okay, then you face the consequences. More people are killed, more suffering for people, and that's it. This is what is going on. It could have ended long time ago. The situation could have improved a lot, but world is not willing to do that. Why? It is serving its own purpose. But subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal has a sunnah. He has his own way. That every time people try something, it will backfire against them. What they started in Syria and Iraq, ISIS, now it is backfiring against them. And when they wanted to make it under control, that's what's happening now. They are having some shelling and they are having some attacks, but it will backfire against them because they are the ones who started it. From the beginning, their excuse was, we don't want to give weapons to the wrong hand. We don't want to give weapons to the wrong hand. So it was given to the wrong hand now. What are you going to do? Nothing. Nothing. So, this again does not mean that we say in Islam there are no extremists. There are. And this happened from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. There was extremism. This is something that some people don't understand. When they talk about ISIS, regardless whether they are in collaboration with CIA or not, whether they are good or bad, look at them, at their ideologies. They are motivated by only one thing. We are Muslims and everybody else is kafir. That's the bottom line. What they killed from Muslims is much more than what the regime killed. What about the non-Muslims? They didn't kill. Even the announcements, now you heard that they killed some of the minorities of the Yazidis. Give us the list. Not even a single person was named. Not even a single person. Now maybe some people became homeless. That's true, maybe. But killed? I personally haven't seen. I have seen many Muslim leaders were killed by ISIS. I have seen their pictures. And I've known their names. They were killed by ISIS. But what about other people? No. And that has been their way. Long time ago, they are called Khawarij, from the time of the Prophet ﷺ and the companions. But again, the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal will always take its course. That those people, because they are so extreme, they will never be the same. They will never be united. They started as one group, and they were divided into three groups. Three major groups. Then, they became many groups. And in our time, the same thing. Those people, they announce that they are one group, but shortly, they will be divided. But again, you ask yourself, who is supporting them? What is making them known to the entire world? Despite the fact that every single scholar is denouncing their acts. And you still have some Muslims saying, we are supporting them. When you see repeated warnings against something, yet still it is coming, that means there is someone supporting it. Definitely. So that's why I'm telling you it is a very sophisticated operation by governments of the non-Muslims. Why? To attack jihad. To tell you this is jihad. You want Islamic State? That is the Islamic State. And actually they called it the Islamic State. Is that what you want? Beheading? Everybody would say no. So they say, okay, so stop jihad, stop fighting, accept anything. And that's what they want. So this is, in a nutshell, briefly, what is happening. I hope it answers some of the questions. And I'm leaving enough time for your questions, if you still have specific questions. Because what I mentioned is less than what I know, is less than what is happening. what is happening is far more than what I've just mentioned in 1 hour. It has been going on for over 3 years now. And to just brief it in 1 hour, that is not possible. But I try to give you the main things of what is happening. So we still have at least 20 minutes. If you have any question, please feel free and I will answer it, inshallah.
Plainly, is ISIS strategy of US?
Is ISIS strategy of US? What do you mean? Like,
this is a ploy, this is a plan to fight Islam?
Yes, definitely. Strategy? Yes, definitely. I have no doubt whatsoever that the leadership, at least of ISIS, the leadership of ISIS, because you look at it, they are achieving what nobody could achieve. You attack Islam, you attack jihad, you cannot do that. Jihad is part of Islam, whether you like it or you don't like it. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that. But you show people what so-called jihad is doing, but on the hands of those people, everybody would run away from it. Everybody would say, we don't want that. So this is what you see. At the beginning, when they started, I'm telling you, one of the leaders, his name was Abu Qaqa, he destroyed 14 tanks. 14 tanks. He was a sniper. Who killed him? ISIS. And when he was killed, he was saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And the clip is still available. Who did that? The regime announced $200 million prize on his head for whoever is able to catch him. Eventually, he was killed by ISIS. Many of the people who are on the ground there, they personally told me that the worst they have seen is from ISIS. Not from the regime, despite the fact that the regime is brutal. Not from. So you ask yourself, how they came? We are Muslims, to be honest. We lack organization. We lack vision. But you see them very specific in their vision. Very strategic in their movements. Now, we don't have proof that they are collaborating directly, as I said. But you look at the goals, you look at the consequences, you have no doubt that it is not necessarily only United States. Even the Shia in Iraq, what many people don't know, and they think that they are fighting al-Maliki. No, actually al-Maliki, it helped him. Not personally, but as a group. Yes, personally he was impeached. But the entire group of Shia now is getting stronger in Iraq. Because now they are united against one goal. They don't see ISIS, they see the Sunni Muslims. And that's it. So, I say definitely, ISIS is helping the goal of the enemies of Islam. They believe the belief of the Khawarij, the people that the Prophet ﷺ said about them, they are the dogs of the hellfire. They kill the Muslims and they leave the non-Muslims. You look at the death toll on their hands, you see the vast majority, like 99.9%, only Muslims. They killed only Muslims. You give the pledge, you become a Muslim. You don't give the pledge to their Khalifa, you are subject to death. That's it. You gave the pledge and then later you change your mind, you are also going to be killed. That is their way. And it happened just recently in Arraqa, the city of Arraqa in Syria. They took control over the airport there. Not the civil one, but the military one. And you wonder how this happened in few days. Only few days. This Free Syrian Army, they were trying for months to take control over it and they couldn't. But those people, within few days, they got it. How? It was a plot between them and the regime in Syria. Now, the last statement from the regime, we are willing to cooperate with America, with Europe, to fight ISIS. So now it is open, their collaboration. The announced goal is what? To fight ISIS. But the real goal is that they are all one. They are all one. You find it hard to believe? You find it hard to believe?
Yes, I find it very
hard. Why? Why?
What is stated publicly in the open?
Yes.
What's happening?
What is stated in publicly with ISIS? Tell me one good thing they did. One good thing. Just one good thing they did. Not they said, because you can say anything. And many people are able to say a lot of things. But what one good thing they did?
The bombing of that to help the Zaydis.
To help?
The Zaydis who were up in the mountains. Then there was a bombing of the ISIS positions by the US.
As I told you, this is part of their plan. Even your own brother, you would have some disagreement with him. And when you find him transgressing, you have to stop him. What they did, now you're talking about America. What they did is not against the leadership of ISIS. It is against the people. Because definitely there are many people, they are coming there, individuals, who don't know anything. And they just want to perform jihad. That's what they think. And that is a danger against America. So how you control that? From the leadership. You tell them, do this, and you kill them by dozens.
In essence, ISIS claim that they are Sunnis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Therefore, they are going for this, of course, the institution, the caliphate.
Yes.
Therefore, that's actually the very attraction that Muslims are going for.
True. Again, as I said, you could say anything and you could pick some catchy phrases. Khilafa is something every Muslim wants. That is true. But like that, on the skulls and the blood of Muslims, the bodies of Muslims, definitely not. Now, let me ask you this. What makes ISIS more worthy of Khilafa than Boko Haram in Nigeria? Because they too announced the Khilafa. That is the problem now. And subhanAllah, Wahab ibn Munabbih, rahimahullah, one of the scholars of hadith, he died in the year 114, very early. He was born in the year 34, only 23 years after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, I have never seen a group worse than the Khawarij. And they were never united. Whenever they are one, Allah Azza wa Jal divides them. And if they were to control, there will be no life for people. That was his statement from over 1200 years ago. And now you see the reality of them. It is only temporary time that it is serving them now, but eventually it will not work. So you have ISIS there, and you have Boko Haram, and maybe some group somewhere. So who gives the right to this one or to that one to announce the Khilafah? Khilafah is not an objective. It is a means. If you are able to obey Allah Azza wa Jal, to implement the commands of Allah, that's all what matters. Everyone wants to be under one ummah, one nation, but not like that. Okay, this is easy to be said, to be claimed.
Just to add to you, I just read somewhere on the internet recently that ISIS has declared Yusuf Qaradawi as kafir.
Yeah, not only him. The leaders, I'm telling you, they look at anyone not from them as kafir, including us, including the Syrian people. The leaders of the Syrian Free Army, all of them, according to ISIS, are kafir. That's why they are fighting them. Most battles are taking place, it is by ISIS and them. They stopped a lot of jihad. Many areas now is under the control of ISIS. Why? Because the Free Army, Free Syrian Army, they were attacking the regime and they were able to take control. So instead of ISIS supporting them, it's fighting them. So the regime is benefiting. This didn't happen once or twice. That was the case almost every time. You never find them collaborating. Many times they were invited. Let's come. There is jurists, Council of Muslim Jurists, and they will judge whether what we did is wrong or what you did is wrong. They never accepted that. It's my way or the highway. That's it. That has been always the case with them. They consider the entire Muslim population kafir until you give the pledge to their leader. That's it.
You mentioned that the West wanted some concession from the Syrian.
Yes.
What was the concession you wanted?
Long-term peace with Israel. Don't mention anything about the Golan Heights. Of course, that's just to give you a few things. From many things. Now, what they failed to see or to find, they were trying to see just like Afghanistan, who would be their boy there, who would be their man, and they couldn't find. Alhamdulillah, so far, not because all Syrian people are good, but for a long time, this was the propaganda that Israel is evil and America and so on and so forth. There was not a true leader from Syria that anybody would look at him as a leader, because the regime killed anyone that they would feel or believe that he is a threat. So America and Europe, they wanted to find this person that they could deal with, and they couldn't find. Because every time they think that this is our man. But he's not representing everyone. That, on one hand, you look at it, you see it as a negative thing. But on another hand, it's actually a good thing. Because no one is able to represent the entire people of Syria.
But who's the leading faction now in Syria? The FSA?
To an extent.
The Nusra is in the same coalition.
In coalition. Now, unfortunately, what happened before, many groups, including Qatar, they pressed the fighters and they told them you cannot fight as divided groups. And that is a fact. This is one of the reasons why the situation took longer. Because even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, if you're not united, you will lose. And that's what happened in the Battle of Uhud. So if that happened to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, how would you expect that not to happen to you? And everybody is having an aim, everybody is doing his own thing. So you have to be united. And they were united. They were promised, when you are united, you will be given. So they established the army, Islam army. The army of Islam. But in reality, it was not actually united. They just tried to do that. And recently they decided that, no, we will go back to what we have been doing before. It is sad, but that's what's happening.
All the rich Sunni states like Saudi, Qatar and all that.
Yes.
Do they see all these weird plans of America?
They are part of the problem. They are, as I told you. Now, what did Saudi do? Exactly what they did with Egypt, for instance. The first country to be visited by Morsi was Saudi. And they welcomed him at the beginning. But then when they felt that this is a threat to them, he is elected openly by the people. So they felt that this is a threat to us, because they are not elected openly by people. So, and we are saying we are the representatives of Islam. Let him go. And that's what they did. So now, they are part of what's going on also in Syria. I find it very clear, actually. Very clear. Because they announced that we will help the people of Syria. You look at what they did. They did to the non-Muslims, to the kuffar, 10 times what they did to Syria. Is that what they are able to do? Just on a very simple example. The refugees in Jordan. They announced that they will build houses for them. They will, and all what they did, giving like maybe $25 million. That's all. Is that what an entire country like Saudi can do? So it's obvious. It is obvious. As long as we are remaining ruling in Saudi, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter. But let us say or stay able to say that we are representatives of Muslims. That's what they are doing. They are actually part of the problem, not part of the solution. Openly, they announced that they don't want Iran and the Shia to control Syria. On the other hand, Iran also is saying that we are not allowing Syria to fall. If Syria fell, that was openly what their statement. If Syria fell, Tehran will fall. And that's why you find in Syria Iranian men with the army, with the Syrian army, but you never find Saudis. The Saudis who went individually, they were banned. They were told, whenever you come, you will be imprisoned minimum for 10 years. So, what do you think? On one hand, you are welcome and you are given privileges when you go there. And it is coordinated on the highest level. On the another hand, you are an outlaw if you go there.
What is the feeling of the people, the general people in Syria? Who do they support? Do they support, do they have any support for the regime, support for ISIS, support for the other groups?
You don't have one single opinion because people are different. But the vast majority, without a doubt, they want their freedom. They want an alternative. They don't want the regime. That is the vast majority of people, even inside Damascus. But some people, on the other hand, they say, we're just tired. We're just tired of all of this. We want our life back because we cannot live like that any longer. We have no job, no financial help. No. So that's another group. Then you have another group. They are welcoming anyone, whoever is in charge. Now it is the regime, so they are with the regime. If the regime changed, they are with that. So you have that. But the vast majority of people, they are against him. They're against the regime.
So when you say they want freedom, what does that mean? Democracy? Khalifa? What kind of freedom do you mean?
Both, but even the Muslim groups, they don't look directly, as I said, as establishing Khilafah. Because establishing Khilafah is a means, it's not a goal on its own. The purpose of it is to be able to implement Islam. As long as you're able to do that, there is no problem. The Syrian people, by nature, they are practicing Muslims. Now, we have some minorities, some Christians and some other groups. And the regime actually tried to play on that fact. In the southern city, there is a small city called Suwayda. This is neighboring city to Dar'a. And they are from the extreme group of the Batiniyya. They are extreme Shia. Druze. Very bad group. But actually, until now, their situation, until now, they are neutral. It could have been much worse. And that is good. Many times, the regime tried to entice them to fight the Sunnis. Because they are living around Sunni tribes and Sunni cities like Dar'a and Horan and the other areas. And they refused. Until now, they refused. Despite the privileges that is given to them by the regime. But they are neutral. It could have been much worse. And they realized that this regime belongs to minority. When it goes, they will not have any supporters. So they better stay good with their neighbors.
You mentioned just now that the vast majority in Syria wants freedom.
Yes.
Is there any leadership to spearhead for that movement?
As I told you, the nature of the revolution is that it's not very organized. It's just spontaneous from the people. They try to have a coalition. It's called the Al-Itilaf. They try to have the National Council also, where 250 representatives from all factions, from all parts of Syria, including the Christians, was elected. And they have a leader every 2 years is elected. They did that. But you cannot declare that this is the leader of the revolution because there was no leader. It started with only few children in Dar'a. And then it followed suit in Homs and in other cities.
In that case, there is no progress then because there are so many groups, but they are fragmented.
True,
so
true.
Nothing can be achieved.
No, we cannot say nothing can be achieved or there is no progress. There is progress. But everybody is saying, now we have one goal. Let the regime leave, and then we work our own issues. It will not be easy. Nobody is saying it will be uphill. It will be difficult, just like what happened in Libya. They said, we want the regime to go. Gaddafi, he was the problem. He went, but it didn't work so well until now. But again, there are many hands playing, not only Libya. And recently, you hear Egypt and Emirates, they bombed some places inside Libya. So let people decide on their own and everything will be fine, inshallah.
Things look very bleak for the Muslim future, presently. But what does the Quran say? Is there any indication in the Quran that one day the Muslim world will come up in?
In the Quran, gives you general statements, general things, not specific things. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned a lot of things about what's going to happen, especially in Syria. And you find that. You see it true. You see the reality of what the Prophet ﷺ said long time ago about what's happening in Syria, what is going to happen. Quran gives you general statements, general facts. Regardless, remove the name Syria. Put any name you want. Labels. Wherever there is justice, you have to be supporter to it. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla says. Wherever and whenever there is injustice, you have to stand upright against it. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada'a lillah. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla commands us. So that's why I don't think that it is unclear. It is very clear. This is group of people, started with very small group, and then it became large group. All what they were saying, we want to be free. We don't want to be imprisoned just because of opinion that we expressed. We don't want to be ruled forever by only one family. That's our choice. This is our land. That's all. And because of what they said, they were killed and they were imprisoned. So I don't think that this is not clear. It is very clear.
So in the meantime, what Muslims in the rest of the world do for this thing? Because you say just now you don't encourage foreigners to come to Syria.
Yes, I don't encourage them to go there because you want to go there to help the people. And the people are telling you don't come. Instead, help us in other ways. Many ways. Financial, that's one of the ways. Now, the infrastructure is destroyed. If you love your country, you would never do that. Who destroyed the infrastructure? Who had the, from the beginning, all what they said, neutralize the air forces, that's all, and we would take care of the rest. But even that was not done. This was done in Libya, and that's why it was easy. They say, we don't want any foreign forces, any occupation whatsoever inside Syria. We just want to neutralize the air force, and we'll take care of the rest. But even that didn't happen. So whatever we can help to rebuild the infrastructure, we're trying now, we're having a project, inshallah, in Turkey for education. Because those people, they will come back and inshallah... So there are many ways to help. Not initially just to go there physically by yourself and help. Just like in Gaza. Gaza, do they or don't they need our help? Physically, they don't need our help. They have a lot of people, alhamdulillah. But they need other ways of help. The same thing in Syria.
The problem is, just now, there is no leadership for the vast majority of people on freedom. So where do you channel your help?
There is no unified leadership. That doesn't mean there are no representatives. That doesn't mean there is no work going on. There is. This is happening. So there are groups of people. They are representative. They have some people to represent them. There are some works. But to have one single leader, I think this is one of the good things. Initially, yes, it is not good. You should have one leader. But if that happened, I guarantee you within a week, he will be killed. That's the way of the regime. So maybe this is a good thing, actually, not a bad thing. There are people working, there are projects, there are people united, there is a lot of work. But to just sit and say, oh, if they are not there, so we will not help. No, I don't think this is the right way. We do whatever we can. Whatever we can. Imagine this is happening in your place. Or in a neighboring country. What would you do? You cannot just turn your head because actually you look at it as it's like dominoes. They started there, they are trying to pull every country to that. Yes?
This is a mere Shia Sunni warfare or is it civil war?
It's multi-layered warfare. On one of the layers, you have the Sunni Shia. Okay? Because it was open. And it actually extended to Lebanon, where Hezbollah is strong and having control, so the Sunnis are fed up with that and they try to do something and there was some war. In Syria it is the same. That's one layer. Another layer, you see on one side Saudi, they are announcing, that's openly what they are saying, but not in reality. They say we are supporting Sunni Muslims. On the other hand, you see Iran. So that's another layer. Then there is another layer, Russia, with China on one hand, supporting the regime with forces, with intel. And then on the other hand, you find Europe and America. They are saying we're supporting the people. So it is actually multi-layered warfare.
I mean, literally, at one point in time, there appeared to be the rebels were winning. But and then all of a sudden we saw that the government forces took back control of Muslim cities. So where are they now?
Now, as I told you, the vast majority of the country, over 75% of the country, is governed by the Free Syrian Army.
75%?
Up to 75%, yes. The only standing cities until now, you have Damascus, that is the capital, and that's what matters most. The revolution will not end until the capital falls. And the people knew that, and they tried that. But the problem is they were infiltrated. It wasn't easy. They tried to have a lot of fighters coming in civil clothes without any weapons inside Damascus. And then at a certain point in time, they will all start fighting, but that didn't work. Few days before the deadline, the plan was uncovered. It was exposed. So they were infiltrated. So you have Damascus, you have the coast, only a few cities, Tartus and Latakia. And then you have the city of Hama. Now, this city is surrounded by free areas, all of it. But the city itself, so aside from that, the entire country is not in the hand of the regime. The entire country. So what happens, I'm telling you, you have a regime with air force, with warplanes, and you have people with rifles, with some missiles. That's it. But they are gaining ground. And America and Europe, whoever is interested in keeping Muslims fighting, keeping countries surrounding Israel weak, when they see that this party is winning, they let ISIS do its work, they let the regime do. And then when they see the regime is killing from them, they announce, we will give you missiles, to heated missiles and targeting. So it is a game. That's what they are doing. But eventually, I'm telling you, eventually they will reach a point where the regime will have no people to fight. Because they are fighting their own people. And you could do that for only that much. You cannot do that forever.
What is the situation with the Kurdish people in the north?
Kurdish people, that's another part of the puzzle. Because they want their own government. And they were successful in Iraq to do that. They tried in Turkey, they were not successful. Same thing in Syria. For over 40 years, they were persecuted. They were stripped from their civil rights in Syria. So when the revolution happened, at the beginning, they were actually supportive. Very supportive. But then what happened when they noticed that they will not get what they are looking for because they want their own country? And they tried to do their own thing, just like what happened in Iraq, where they have the president from them and they have their own government. So they are trying to do that. So far, you could say they are neutral. They are neutral. But they are not with the regime. If they had to choose one side, they would choose the side of the Free Army, because they did that before. Any other questions?
Saudi is not helping Hamas.
Yeah.
Basically, they just think they are going to
get it. What could have been done is much more. You don't ask people to do everything, but at least what you can do. And I look at what is done, and I say what could have been done is much more. And that's why they should be blamed.
Is this anything to do with the so-called Wahhabism?
In what sense?
They are not helping the Hamas.
Now, part of it, yes. Part of it, yes. They say that Hamas is a front of Muslim Brotherhood, and they are a danger on the Muslim Ummah. So that's why they supported the regime in Egypt to impeach the Muslim Brotherhood and their president. And that's why in Emirates also they are doing the same thing. And part of it also about not supporting enough Hamas as well. Yeah, that's part of it.
If I can add, I think that would be government is more concerned about any revolutionary movement
Yes.
Because they will affect their own survival.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing to do with your,
yes,
your Akita or anything.
No, no, but you have to remember that they always try to picture themselves as representatives of the Muslims. They have the Kaaba. So they cannot just turn a blind eye. So they have to say whether they support it or not. Of course, the bottom line is, as long as I'm able to rule, that's all what I want. This is why whenever there is a fatwa supporting them, you will find it everywhere. Demonstrations prohibited. So that's it. It is haram. It is against the rulers. So don't do it. So anytime there is something like that, they will do it. But yeah, in reality, they're not support, because they have, in Saudi, they have many people in prison. I know some people individually, personally, I know them. They were imprisoned. What is the charge? There is no charge. They were just helping Syrian people. You announced that this is a good cause, that not fighting, we're helping them. They were imprisoned. Many prisoners in Saudi, they didn't go against the government, they didn't carry weapons against them, they just expressed their own opinions. So, unfortunately, Saudi is part of the problem.
Any questions?
Do you see Syria achieving stability and peace by itself?
That's right. When you see it.
Yes, definitely. Now, when, I cannot predict exactly when, and honestly, it doesn't matter. Many times, Allah Azza wa Jal reminded us that the end result is not our problem, is not our responsibility, whether soon or later. Our responsibility is to do whatever we're supposed to do. You cannot go on top unless you go downhill. So, it is like, as I said, it is kind of purification process. It will get ugly before it gets better. So, inshallah, it will happen. As long as people are able to be united, as long as nobody from outside is allowed to put their hand inside, because that's the problem now. Whenever we try to do things on our own, inshallah, yes, I can see that. Whether it is after 10 years or 15 years, Allah knows best. But it will happen, inshallah.
There will be a solution.
Of course.
But I think the process doesn't involve Syria alone. The
politicians. True, that is part of, yes, exactly. You cannot look at Syria only because of the location. So this is the second part of the talk now. What is happening in Selangor? Okay, Jazakallah
khair. I just thank you for tonight's speech. But at the beginning of his talk, he mentioned that there was siege on media.
Yes.
So my point is that if you look at all Muslim countries in Malaysia, is there a free and balanced media? This is crucial for us to understand what's happening. Without a free and balanced media, we'll always be in the dark. We make assumptions which are not correct. And we interpret laws according to our whims and fancies. And we give powers to persons who have the powers to do things, you know? That kind of thing happening. That's one of the weaknesses in Muslim country.
Yes.
A fair and...
But now, again, they were able at some point to control the media. Now, with the social media, you have everything open.
Then from what I heard from Dr. Stock, there are a lot of factions. Yeah?
Yes.
The idea came to me while looking at this,
Jewish story.
Malaysia has concocted a unity government concept, you know? Whether that's applicable in a unity government. But of course, in Malaysia, there's a selfish intention because the minority wants to get into power. They want to form a unity government, you see? But is that issue? Can it be done in Syria, a unity government between three of
the regime?
There has been a lot of talk about that, but here's the simple fact. You talk here in Malaysia about only difference in opinions, difference in political agenda. There, you're talking about people, they paid the price of the blood of their own children. So how would you expect from someone who lost his entire family to say, okay, you know what, forget about the past, and it doesn't work. And unfortunately, you look at world organizations like Amnesty and other places, they say we are neutral, but they are equalizing the victim with the butcher, with the criminal. That's the problem. They say, look at the Free Syrian Army. They are committing atrocities. You don't see what they did. Now, maybe one of them, because we are humans, we are not robots. So you don't expect everything perfect. I saw my entire family killed, cold-blooded, on the hands of someone. How do you expect me when I see him to say thank you? Or of course I will react to try to retaliate. So I don't think it will be the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, a lot of physical fighting and blood.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. And here,
in Malaysia, we have repressive laws like sedition acts. So like what you say, I cannot defend you, but I also be charged. You know.
So we have a lawyer who can.
Careful what you say. Recently, when the development, you see the trend. I'm not going to say anything. The trend is using the laws to silence people who say something which is right and correct, including the Wahhabis. You know, they can also be charged for sedition. Anyway, thank you for
coming to talk
tonight. I just remind those the first time I say we have organized Anida this Wachana every Wednesday night. The first week we have the Hadith lecture from Mr. Sabizan. The second week of Wednesday is by Mr. Hazrizal, talking about history of the Turkey. Yeah?
Yes.
The third week was Mr. Azharuddin, Sirah. And the fourth week is open for any major topic. Maybe in the next fourth week we can talk about slango. I don't know. But just to touch your point, always been I've been pushed by the secretary treasure to shake in every of this question. We have a token charge of 10 ringgit. After the Wachana we have small refreshment. So in the end we
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين مصاحبته